Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my consummate co-host, Frank.
Have we consummated this podcast?
Well, I guess if we've recorded together, we've consummated the podcast.
I feel uncomfortable.
You should. Drink some beer. Tell me what you're drinking.
I'm drinking Narragansett Del Shandy.
Because it's still freaking hot outside.
Because it's still technically summer.
Yes, that's also true.
So I'm going to enjoy summer
that's also
while
true.
I can.
Yeah. That's so good. Okay.
Made an honor, sold on merit, refreshingly different beer. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Brewmaster Mike Sir Hart's Fresh Slice White IPA.
Ah, Otter Creek Brewing
Otter
Company?
Otter Creek, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's quite good. I like it. I've had this before.
Yeah, good stuff.
As I stated before, I really like the label where the guy in the VW van. That's clearly not a VW van.
That's right.
But it is.
But it is.
Yeah. So, school's in session.
Yep.
And you know that I teach a class about graphic novels, about comic books.
That's right, yes.
You know, all that because I have a great job. And
you
I
do.
Can't complain about it. So, but not. I'm always looking for new reading material.
Yeah.
For kids.
Yeah.
Because their tastes are varied from kid to kid, and they're certainly different from mine sometimes. And because it's high school, there are books that you certainly cannot touch in high school. Like Watchmen's a great book and it would be a great one to read, but you cannot do that in high school.
Nope.
I don't think they'd even get it, honestly.
It might be a little over their heads, you think?
I think it's over their heads. I think they would just read it and be like, this is boring. Oh, look, a movie. And then that would be the end of that. You can't always do superhero stuff either.
Sure.
So I'm here tonight imploring you. Give me some stuff. Give me some stuff that's not superhero, that's not Marvel, that's not DC.
Well, not superhero or not Marvel, not DC?
Just not Marvel and not DC.
Okay.
Because you can make a lot of grand statements about human nature with a superhero book that's not Spider-Man. Yeah.
I've always been a DC guy, right?
Yeah.
But, and there's a lot of Marvel stuff that I enjoy, but lately I actually have been reading a lot of non-big two.
The big two.
Yeah. Stuff. So obviously there's a lot of Image stuff that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's hard not to mention things like Invincible.
I love Invincible. Let's talk about
that. Invincible's great.
Oh, yeah.
I have been reading all of Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Are you caught up?
No, not even close.
Well, then I'm not
going to. No, yeah, don't tell me what's going on. Blip. I am still only on issue, 40 or so. So I'm still a long ways to go.
Long ways to go.
So I'm like, three or four years into like the 10-year run.
Right.
So I got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's phenomenal.
Down.
It is a very violent.
Oh, extremely.
Yeah.
Extremely
and
violent
seemingly
book.
Getting more violent as time goes on.
Just wait.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
Just wait.
There's some crazy stuff. But a really, really, I mean, Kirkman is one of my favorite, like Bendis and Jeff Johns and Kirkman are like my
guys.
Favorite guys.
Now, Invincible is interesting because the book doesn't start super violent.
Mm-mm.
It morphs into this place of violence after particular issues, and all of a sudden, like, it's like shocking, like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just keeps rolling with that.
Yeah, it seems that way. I think I'm at the very beginning of the rolling with it.
Right, but the tone doesn't really change despite the violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so it almost has this kind of strange dark comedy vibe to it, where these, like, you know, fists go through skulls and eyes are flying all over the place and guts and red and all this stuff.
Yep.
But then it's still got this, like, offbeat, you know, well-paced comedy to it.
Yes.
And it certainly gets very dark in some places. And then, but it, then it just, like, particularly now in the modern era, they're really snapped back into this little bit more lighthearted, blah, blah, blah. They're teasing a, some kind of reboot. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think they're doing it just to be like, ha, it's a reboot. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
So funny. I don't really know if they're going to, because it, the story, it's played out almost in real time.
Yeah.
And so you really, particularly when you're reading on a monthly basis, you feel like you're kind of moving up and growing with with this character. It's,
right.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
It's quite good that way.
Yes.
But You're only 40-ish in, so I don't want to spoil it. And if this tips anybody's fancy, I certainly don't want to spoil it here.
True.
Okay, so Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
Give me another one.
Well, while we're on the Kirkman train there, I mean, Walking Dead.
Choo-choo.
Always.
Can't use Walking Dead. Choo-choo. Actually, I do use
Why not?
The first.
Oh,
I
you can't use it.
I do use the first volume.
The first volume? Okay,
yeah,
yeah,
I use the
that's
first
good.
Volume.
The current stuff is actually really interesting.
You know that Volume 3 compendium is coming out
Is
soon?
It already?
Yeah, I got an
oh,
email.
Oh, yeah, I guess they
I
are.
I got in an email about it the other day.
Yeah.
Still haven't read that Volume 2 yet.
I'm about halfway through the Volume 2, but I'm reading the current stuff.
Oh, so you just
skipped
forward.
I skipped. I couldn't catch up, but I really wanted to be current on it. So I heard, you know, probably about 6 issues ago now, there was a good jumping on point, so I just took it.
Six issues ago, you say?
Yeah, just about 130-something.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll find out the exact number. I don't remember exactly what number it was.
Read it current.
There was a really good, like a pretty easy jumping on point.
It's so good.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's so consistently good. Like the quality is so, like, it reads as good and as exciting and fresh, you know, with the current issues as it did in issue one. Like, it is so good. So love that. I read, actually this past weekend, that just passed, I read both of Brian Lee O'Malley's graphic novels that are not Scott Pilgrim.
Which ones?
Lost at Sea and Seconds.
Oh, Seconds is great.
Seconds was outstanding.
Yeah, I really liked Seconds. It's got an interesting protagonist. I can't tell if I really, even at the end of the story, I'm like, I'm not sure if I like her or not.
I think I like her. Lost at Sea was also really good, and I actually really liked Lost at Sea as well. I think I liked Seconds a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I really liked Lost at Sea as well.
Was Lost at Sea more somber? Because I think I have it on Comixology, but I don't think I've read it yet. I think it was like one of those 80% off sales
kind of
things. And
it is more somber. It's like a coming of age story. It's about this girl who's like kind of an outcast, doesn't have a lot of friends. She goes on this road trip with a couple of people that she knows from college, and she's thinking about, like, you know, how like she feels like her life is really messed up because of all the things that have happened to her and these weird experiences she's had, and kind of coming to terms with like being an outsider, being the oddball, being the weird kid, and, you know, making some realizations along the way about like how to fit in as an adult, kind of transitioning from being a college kid to being a real grown up, and like, where do you kind of fit in the world? It was really, really, it kind of struck a chord for me like 5 or 10 years ago.
Interesting.
And what, you know, a more dramatic version of, like, you know, thoughts that I had and stuff too, like much more dramatized, but like, you know, it I felt like I could kind of relate to that character.
I could roll with that.
Yeah,
I could. Could I use that in class?
I think so. I mean, you'd want to read it obviously first, but I think
it'd
you
be
might
a very strange teacher book that I've never read.
Of course, but
yeah.
Not
saying I haven't done it.
I think you
just
could.
No,
I don't think
kidding.
There's anything. I don't think there's anything in it that's like objectionable.
Cool.
That I can remember.
Okay.
Yeah. So I really like that one too. Yeah. I mean, are there any that you've checked out that are?
Yeah. There's a few. There's a book that I think actually that you would really like.
Okay.
And that I'm trying to get people to read in the worst way.
Okay.
It's called Giant Days. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's by Boom Studios.
Oh, yeah. Boom
Studios.
Studios.
Yeah. Okay. It's written by John Allison and Lissa Traman. And I think it was supposed to start as a mini and just exploded, as Boom does.
Yeah. Yes.
And now they're just, now I think now it's an ongoing, just because it just like, it became so popular so quickly. And it's about these girls in their freshman year of college in they're in Canada, which for some reason just makes it better.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure why, but it's just really about, I think it's their freshman year. But it's really just about their friendships and, you know, like, going out on the weekend, and like one's super liberal and one's kind of she's kind of like a goth but preppy girl, and one's like the super nerd who never did anything in her life. And it's really, really well written. The art is very expressive. It's certainly not it's not realistic art. It's very cartoonish.
Okay.
But it's so expressive, and you just, it's like if it came out on that Wednesday, that's the first book that I'm reading.
Oh wow.
I don't care if Justice League came out, I don't care if Batman came out, I don't care if Amazing Spider-Man came out.
Okay.
I'm reading Giant Days first.
Wow.
That's my book.
Okay, Giant
it's
Days.
It's so good. I love every
second. It's on Comixology?
It. Comixology, yeah.
Boom Studios. Okay.
Yeah, Boom Studios.
That's a ringing endorsement.
Oh, it's so good. I just look forward to it. You know, like when you read Ultimate Spider-Man and you're like, yeah, that's the stuff. This feels good.
Yeah.
That's the feeling. I get same kind of like,
okay,
yeah, that's the stuff. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because like Ultimate Spider-Man, to dip into the Marvel pool for a second, it has that high school behind, not just superhero experience thing. It's that without the superheroes.
Okay.
That's what it feels like all the time.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Speaking of like the high school part without the superhero part, Mark Waid's run on Archie right now.
Oh my god,
it's been so
two issues in. It's so good.
As you know, I've been rewatching Smallville for a couple of months now, and I'm reading this run on Archie, and I'm watching Smallville, and I'm like, oh my god, it's like an episode of Smallville without the powers.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. That's exactly what it's like.
I've never read an Archie comic in my life before now.
I've read a few, and I got to give Archie credit. Not Archie the character,
the franchise.
Because over the past couple of years, they've really tried to expand Archie outside of like, oh, he has two beautiful girls love him. Which one will he choose?
Crazy friend Jughead, always eating burgers.
He's got a crown on his head.
Right.
Ah. Mm-hmm. And they've really tried to push it into these different types of genres and all these things. Like they just did Archie versus Sharknado.
Yes.
Which was really funny.
Yeah.
And they did Archie versus Predator.
Oh, yes. I know about that one, yeah.
It's fun stuff like that. Afterlife with Archie is another book you need to check out.
Okay.
I can't remember who wrote it, but Francisco Francavilla did the art, who did a great run on Detective Comics with Scott Snyder a while ago. And it's zombies attacking Rivendell.
Rivendell? Yeah. Yeah.
Riverdale. Whatever. Rivendell is kind of like
Reavers.
No, it's kind of like Lord of the Rings, but not quite.
Yeah.
Whatever. But anyway, it's really good because it's not like Archie versus Sharknado. It's dark.
Okay.
And characters that you know in the Archie universe are dying and like all this stuff. That was kind of their turning point. But then this Mark Waid run with Fiona Staples has
amazing.
Been so good.
Like,
so good.
I've always loved Mark Waid.
Yeah.
I've always been a big fan of Mark Waid. I will pretty much read anything that he does.
He's consistent. He's very consistently good. I have friends who don't like Mark Waid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of, you either like Mark Waid or you don't.
Yes.
But he very much appeals to me.
Mark Waid has an old school sensibility when it comes to comics. And he doesn't try to be super gritty. He doesn't try to be edgy. This is a classic superhero story.
Yeah.
With modern sensibility.
Yeah.
Let's tell it.
But like,
that's the Mark Waid style. Or any story for that matter.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He definitely is influenced by older, like the stuff that like with our parents' generation of comics, he's definitely very much influenced by that and unapologetic about it. And he thinks that is like the good stuff. And so he writes like that.
Yeah.
And I love it. I really love it.
Yeah.
So his Archie stuff is great. Irredeemable
is very good. You gave me that Irredeemable.
Did I?
Yeah, you gave me volume 1 of Irredeemable
that is
a couple years ago.
Great book.
It is a great book.
I reread volume one a couple of months ago.
I should continue it.
Yeah, I should too.
I have it.
Do they finish the run or is this?
I think it's
done.
Finished.
Yeah.
Because there's Irredeemable and there's the flip side of it.
In
Redemptionable?
No. I'm going to use my lookup.
Okay. Because Irredeemable is basically the Superman type character that becomes evil.
Yes. It's literally Superman.
Yeah.
Goes evil. Like they just made a fake character.
And the flip side of that, whatever it is the Lex Luthor,
yep,
Joker.
Incorruptible.
Is that the opposite villain character who sees what the Superman type character is, yep, doing and, yep, flips it and becomes good.
The hero. Yeah.
The hero, which is interesting combination of the two books. I've never read Incorruptible, but I hear good things about it just the same.
So they both started in 2009 and then they ended in 2012.
That's a good Both run. That's a good run on a series. And that's doable read.
Exactly. That's a doable read.
Yeah, it's not like you trying to
reread Walking Dead.
Yeah. Trying to reread Walking Dead. Actually, I gave both my giant compendium novels to a friend of mine.
Oh, that's nice.
To read because he wanted to read. And anytime, yeah, anyone's like, I want to read a comic, be like, look at my collection. Just choose something. I really don't care when I get it back. Honest. I probably won't even remember that it's gone.
Yeah.
There are very few books on that shelf that I'll be like, I need that copy.
Right. But yeah, the Irredeemable is outstanding. Like really, really good writing, and it's good old Mark Waid, doing what Mark Waid does best, you know, telling a Superman story.
Yeah.
But
I want to go back to Archie for a second.
Sure.
With that, to talk about Fiona Staples.
Oh yeah, 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 that, yeah.
But Fiona Staples is doing Saga, which is another one,
yeah,
of my go-to.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Definitely can't use it in school books. That is oh my God. It's like Game of Thrones meets Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So good. But she's doing two books. You never see an artist,
yeah,
try to figure out how to do two books.
Two monthlies.
But she does. Independent titles are doing this thing now where they take little vacations.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yes.
Smart. Instead of trying to always have an artist fill in.
It's better to just be like, you know what? Instead of like being behind schedule all the time. Just plan
a break time.
And be more realistic about it.
Really smart.
Set the expectation up front with the readers so they know what to expect, and then it's all good.
And then when it comes back, everybody's happy.
Exactly.
Just like a television show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they don't work all year. But on her breaks from Saga, she's doing Archie, which is, woman's crazy. Like, she's crazy.
She's crazy, but yeah, she's doing great stuff.
She's doing excellent, yeah, stuff.
The art on Archie has been awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've got two other books in my mind, Grace,
yeah,
to talk about. One is a book called Rasputin.
Okay.
Which is put out by, I wish I didn't make up this one lookup rule. Can't remember. there are two Rasputin books that, okay, I'm going to talk about. One is called Rasputin.
Okay.
Which is a monthly title, I believe, by IDW.
Okay.
Possibly Boom. I cannot remember.
That's fine.
And it's about, you know, Rasputin, the mad monk, blah, blah, yes, blah. And it follows him in early Russia, mm, and then flip-flops over into modern day where he's still alive and he didn't.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but he's the hero of the story this time. He's not like, mm, this villain. And it's really good. But the artist on that, speaking of double-dipping books, is doing the art on Hellblazer for DC.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so she's doing both. Someone said to me, like, oh, the Hellblazer title is really good. You should look at it. So I said, okay. And I was flipping through a couple pages. I was like, this is definitely the same artist. I can't remember the name of for the life of me because I made up that rule. And I already used it for Giant Days.
You did.
And so whatever. That book's good. But there's a, mm-hmm, little book called Petrograd, which I...
Okay, yeah, that one I've heard of.
Yeah, I picked Petrograd up at New York Comic Con a couple years ago.
Okay.
The guy was sitting at a table.
Yep.
I wish I remember these people's names for the life of me, but he was sitting at a table and nobody was there. And I was like, I like Russia. I like things about Russian,
yeah,
history.
Yeah.
Rasputin is a very interesting person in history who did not come to my fancy dinner party. Oh,
call back to last episode.
That upsets me quite a bit. Wow.
Well,
shoot. Anyway,
well,
that's what the books are for. Because he's not there in real life.
Right.
So, and this is just about, like, the conspiracy to kill him, which,
yes,
is excellent.
That's an interesting story.
Oh, it's an excellent read.
Yeah.
Excellent story. Real life story.
Yeah.
This one's based on true events, but definitely, mm-hmm, fiction.
Fictionalized.
Yeah. Oh, but it's a great read. I highly recommend Rasputin. Nice. I highly recommend Petrograd and Rasputin.
Nice.
Rasputin was put out as a graphic novel. It's not a monthly.
Got it.
So you can just read it just in one sitting if you really want to.
Awesome.
Yeah. Your turn to talk.
Have you read The Red Ten?
No.
From Comics Tribe?
No.
Yeah. This is a small independent publisher. In fact, I think they got started on Kickstarter. To fund this book. We met the creators at Boston Comic Con this year. Our friends picked up the hardcover.
I have the book sitting on my bench that I have not read yet.
It is. I've done 7 issues so far. They're gonna be 10 total. Mm-hmm. But I've read the first 7 that are out right now. And it is really, really good. It's bloody. Mm. I don't know what the threshold is for that for you for classroom use.
Bloody, I tend to be fine. Look, when the junior curriculum is all adultery, it's
kind of graphic in some places. You'd need to judge, but it is I think a really interesting story because it takes it's a detective story. So the premise is in the back page. This is
Ten Lillinians.
Yes. So they take that premise, but with the Justice League, except it's not the Justice League. Similar to Irredeemable.
But it's the Justice League.
It's a fake Justice League. Yeah. But like, there's
no, it's never the Avengers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. At the beginning of the book.
Suck it, Marvel.
They go through.
I like Marvel.
They go through this thing where they're like, oh, here are our 10 heroes. And it's like splash pages of each one. And it's clear, like, which one they're supposed to be. Mm. Like, okay, this is the Superman. This is the Batman, except Batman's a woman. This is the Flash. This is the Martian Manhunter. All the different types. The Atom. Like, all the different archetypes of Justice League with a little bit of Avengers thrown in. Some of them are sort of, similar to an Avenger and to a Justice League member. There's a Green Lantern character, all that stuff. They do like some gender bending with some of them to make it a little bit different, but it's basically them. And they have like this supervillain who's basically like the Joker. And one of the heroes is murdered, and they automatically assume it's like the Joker guy, except he's also killed. They quickly find out. And they all start getting picked off one by one, and they're like stuck on this island, and they're all getting picked off one by one. So they're like, which one of us is doing it? Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really interesting
read. I really should read that.
As you watch them one by one get picked off. And like whoever you thought was the guilty person, suddenly that's the next person that dies. So it's Ten Little Indians, with some like Sherlock Holmes stuff thrown in. Mm-hmm. They make homages to some different things. But the basic way to describe it is like Ten Little Indians with Justice League. Really good.
Or, but otherwise known as, And Then There Were None.
And Then There Were None.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agatha Christie.
Yes. And they even do a play on Ten Little Indians. Like,
oh,
in
really?
Yeah.
Mm, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
I really definitely want to read
it. It is. And you can tie it into, like, literary, references that they make and stuff like that. Like,
oh, that's smart.
Yeah. There's some academic stuff there, too.
I use Comixology as my go-to. This is how
it's
you
not
get
on Comixology.
Stuff, but
that's
I'm
the problem.
Not opposed to having them read stuff.
Yeah. That's the only problem.
Yeah. That's not a Comixology. It just means that they have to order it. It takes some time.
Right. Right. But that said, that's a really good story so far. It's not finished yet. So, you want to wait and see until it's finished.
Oh, that's probably a good idea.
But it is very, very good. I have enjoyed it quite a bit.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I read a lot this past weekend.
Yeah.
I read a couple graphic novels.
Well, whereas I watch movies I'd never seen before, you read a bunch of books that you had never read.
Yeah.
I've got, you said it's not a comic, I said it's not a Comixology, and this made me think, there's a adaptation of Don Quixote.
Oh, yeah.
That is superbly done.
Yeah.
If you have always wanted to be like, I want to read a classic book,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have time,
yep.
or the language is hard,
yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
at that. This adaptation of Don Quixote is so well done. It's the whole book.
Mm.
It even, like, the narration is basically the same. It's basically the same thing. You're essentially reading Cervantes.
Yep.
I plowed through it, it was, I can understand why people are like, oh, Don Quixote, it's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a tremendous read.
Even when Sancho Panza is not played by a Jack Russell Terrier?
Even then, though, okay. My love of Wishbone did make me almost choose sides. But yes, I was okay.
Wow. I was okay
with it. There's another book out there called I Killed Giants.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Which is quite good, quite sad. It's by Image, and it's Kelly DeConnick?
Okay.
Maybe. I could be very, very wrong.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's probably very wrong.
We'll look it up later.
No, it's Joe Kelly.
Okay. Oh, Joe Kelly.
Yes, Joe Kelly. Yeah. And it's about this girl. I think she's got to be in elementary or middle school, something like that, who... It says, like, the giants are coming, the giants are coming. We got to slay the giants. That's what mm-hmm. I do. I'm a giant slayer.
Right.
And the whole thing is, this is not terribly a spoiler, but her mother is dying.
Mm-hmm.
And the giants are the harbingers of death.
The giants
are coming for her mother. And so mm-hmm. the book kind of really plays with whether this is all happening inside the girl's head. And this
right,
is a coping
right.
mechanism. Or there really are giants. Even by the end of the book.
Interesting.
You're not quite sure
mm-hmm.
what's real and what's not.
Mm.
You know, you get incepted that way.
Yeah,
it's quite good. That book's really good. I have one that I read, finished last night.
Ooh.
That I gotta show you so you understand how beautiful it is. It's called Black Sad.
Okay.
It's a French book, which Ooh. Is translated. I believe it's French. And because America is the only place in the world that they're like, oh, comics, it's for kids. Or
right.
Everywhere else in the world, there's like a celebrated art form that yeah. everyone's like, you know, everybody reads. Nope, not here.
Mm-hmm.
There's this book called Black Sad, and it's a detective crime noir thing, but all of them are animal. They're all animals. Mm-hmm. You follow Black Sad, who is a black cat. And
okay.
somebody, his like lover died, and he's investigating it. It's like it follows those that detective noir trope
yep.
feel and genre, yep. whatever else. But the art in it is so beautiful. Oh, it's one of those books that you just look at it for a really long time before you move on to the next page. It's so subtly done. He talks about like he's in a cemetery looking at a grave, and he's like, you know, I can feel like. You know, like death is coming for me next, or who knows
yeah.
where death will strike next. And right behind him is a tombstone of the Grim Reaper with a scythe like hanging over his head. And it's one of those things that it's not, there's no attention call to it, and you could breeze right by it. But if not, it's just you want to stare at it for 10 minutes. It's so good. Like, it's so beautiful. And it's very, the artist whose name I cannot remember again because I'm the, because, well, because I use my one to look up. They're so expressive. It's almost like, I want to say it's like noir Disney.
Huh.
Like, almost like Great Mouse Detective that way.
Interesting.
I'll show you. And for people who are listening, just do yourself a favor and Google it to see what I'm talking about. Or Bing it. You know, I'm not search engine racist, you know. Like, you know, if you really want to big it, go for it. Everybody's equal, except Google rules all. If you want to Yahoo it, you know, like, whatever, you know.
Just quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, I'm done. Ran out of search engines. Can't ask Jeeves anymore.
Alta Vista? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So give me one more book if you have one.
I have a couple, but...
okay, well, give me a couple.
I'll mention briefly, because you mentioned the Cervantes. Is another good adaptation that I'm about to start reading, but has gotten rave reviews, and that is there's an adaptation of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
The covers are by Lee Bergemo. I don't know who
yes,
does the interior.
Yes,
but it's
I don't know
him.
Either.
Yeah.
But yes. Lee Bergemo did do the
Oh, is that how you say his name?
Yeah. That's fine.
Bergemo.
Bermejo. That's okay.
Whatever.
So yes, he did the covers, but...
close.
He did.
Not
they've
really.
Done the first two books already. So the girl with dragon tattoo and the girl with
play with fire.
Girl who kicked the hornet's nest is coming out this year.
Oh.
And I don't know if they have plans yet to do the girl in the spider's web, which is the fourth book that was
just very
released.
Very recently released.
Yeah. Written by a different author.
Completed. The third one was ghostwritten by somebody else, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just found this out because I know you're rereading them.
Yeah, I'm reading the third one right now.
Yeah, and I just had the patience to do the first one twice because I watched the movie and read the book. But then I wikied the other two.
Yep.
And apparently he didn't finish the third one before it was published. He died. He died. That's what Wiki says. I don't know if that's true.
Okay, I'm just going to look that up.
But the guy who wrote Spider's Web is not.
Oh, not the guy who did.
Is not the guy who ghost wrote number three.
Okay.
I guess there was a manuscript for four that wasn't used at all.
Oh.
So Spider's Web is totally new.
Oh.
Continuing with these characters from another author.
Okay, interesting. I thought that it was a completion. Maybe what I'm remembering then is what I heard about three being completed where he left off.
Oh, I bet you that's what it was.
And maybe I thought that was four. Yeah. But that's what it was. Anyway, that's a real that I'm excited to read next. But then also Lock and Key.
Oh, Lock and Key is so good. Have you not read Lock and Key before?
I've read the first few volumes. I don't remember where I left off.
That's an IDW.
It's an IDW.
Yeah.
That is Joe Hill?
That's Joe Hill, Stephen King's son.
Nephew? Son?
Son.
Son. Okay. Great, great, like, imagery. I mean, the art is beautiful, but I mean, even just like literary imagery that he conjures up. Oh yeah,
they're at Lovecraft, Massachusetts.
Yes, exactly.
Lovecraft was from Providence, but wrote a lot about Massachusetts.
It's a love letter to Lovecraft, really. In a lot of ways. Yeah.
Oh yeah, book's great.
Great.
Definitely can't use that.
No, you can't use it in school. Sorry.
Oh, the swears and the violence. Oh yeah, so many of them.
So much.
But it's such a good book.
Yeah.
Because that's what sells: sex and violence.
Well, yeah.
But
I mean, there's a lot of classic literature that has swearing in it. Violence, maybe not, but.
You feel like you can chew. That's why I said the American literature thing. Like, I have to teach Crucible.
Yeah.
Scarlet Letter.
Mm-hmm.
Great Gatsby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are all those stories about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sex, violence.
They're all about adultery.
Right.
And violence.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them.
Right.
That's what great.
I mean, Catcher in the Rye is taught in high schools regularly, and that is, like, a really, like.
That's true. It's got
crass book. Yeah. You know, like.
It's interesting that. What we deem as quote unquote literature, as the classics, as whatever, that's always the stuff it's edgy.
Yeah.
And so, but then you're like, here, kids, read like our freshmen, or a lot of freshmen across the United States read Lord of the Flies.
Sure.
It's about a bunch of kids killing one another.
Right. But I guess when enough time goes by for something for us to realize, okay, this was edgy, but it was edgy because it was Blazing a Trail, and it was like, it captures like the feeling of that time or whatever, you know, like when time goes by, then we start to realize, okay,
as time goes by.
Play it again, Sam. But yeah, so that's I think maybe that's
this.
Okay, that's why these things become acceptable to read in schools, because it's a little violent, or it's a little, you know, whatever, the language isn't good, but it's a good indicator of what things were like at that time, and the educational value is there. So, well, maybe when these books get older, some of these comics will be acceptable to teach in schools, even though they are off color in some way.
You have more on your list besides.
No, that's it for me.
Well, that's perfect time to end. Where can the people find us?
Well, Beer with Geeks. That's us. You put a .com after it, you find our website. You can listen to episodes there. You can catch up all the stuff there. You put an @gmail.com after it, you can send us email. And tell us what you think, suggest topics, share your thoughts and desires. Tell us about your favorite comics, DC, Marvel, or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Put an @ in front of that Beer with Geeks. You can find us on Twitter. Tell us those same things. Talk with us every day and interact with us. We have some great conversations going on Twitter. You can find us on the Satchel Media Player. If you're on Android, they're looking for some beta testers over there. Totally free app. Great way to listen to this podcast and many other great ones. That's available on Google Play Store and SatchelMediaPlayer.com, or on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Those are great places to find us as well. On iTunes, we'd really love it if right now, stop what you're doing if you can. If you're in a car, please don't stop. But if you're,
especially if you're on a bridge in a car.
But, just take a second and give us a 4 or 5 star rating. We'd really, really appreciate that. Maybe even write us a review, as many of our great listeners have done.
Yeah, I have one right here. From Sponge Bobbies, which is a fantastic
name. Love that name.
Says, oh, snap, I remember that. great times listening to this podcast. It brings back all the geeky stuff we hide from and now we're proud of. All geek talk about movies, cartoons, comics, childhood. But beer's not the top item. But we do talk about this review is a tad bit old. But we do talk about beer at the top now because we listen to suggestions, which is always nice.
It's literally the top item. When
sometimes suggestions comes in and we go, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Or I've never seen that show. Mm. But it happens.
Right.
So. But until next time, my name is Tim. Your name is Frank.
That is.
And I'm going to go show you pictures of Black Sad. That's what I want to do.
Sounds good. Cheers.